We have been studying the book of Joshua. Some of you have said to me that it was one of your favorite books of the Old Testament. It's a beautiful story. And I'm reminded of the fact that every book of the Bible contributes to the overall theme of Scripture, and that is God's plan for the redemption of man. Sometimes when you're looking at some Old Testament book that might be just a little bit difficult, or some part of it that seems to be hard to understand, keep in mind it contributes as well. Even the book of Leviticus, that's sort of difficult reading, and yet it has its place in the divine canon of Scripture, and it contributes its place to the overall theme of redemption. And so does this book of Joshua. And it's an exciting story. And let's keep our continuity in our minds. We have been looking at battles as the people of God are making conquest of the land they had been promised, going back many, many, many years back to Abraham. And then that promise was renewed to the other great patriarchs. And finally, the time comes when they're going to get their land. They're going to get their inheritance. They're going to make conquest of their Canaan. And in our approach to this study, we've tried to bring out lessons that are practical for us. In the language of Paul, the things written aforetime were written for our learning. What can we learn from these battles? We also have a battle to fight. We have the enemy of our faith that we must confront on a continuing basis. We have seen Israel make preparation to go over the Jordan, and we saw God's blessings upon them as the waters were opened up and they walked through as a people and made their way to Gilgal, which was the camp of Israel was made there. And then they began to conquer one city after another until it is said, for example, in chapter 10, so Joshua conquered all the land, the mountain country, the south, the lowland, the wilderness slopes, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. So, the conquest is made, and the people are getting their own particular inheritance by the various tribes, even including the 48 cities that Levi received, and their suburbs. So, we come now to chapter 14, and I want to read to you, because here, set in the midst of these battles, here is a man that comes to the forefront, a personality. The Bible is a continuing story of redemption, and in that story, there are numerous characters that really stand out. And how grateful we are to God for revealing their story. And here is the story that we're going to look at today. Chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet, I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. And a beautiful reading about this man. And it's just something about his spirit, his attitude as an 85-year-old man that inspires us as we sit here today and think about this man. So, at Kadesh Barnea, Israel was very near the land. We've mentioned that several times. Now here Caleb mentions what happened there. 12 men were sent out to spy out the land. Now I think that some of them misunderstood their mission. You know, it's always good to know what your mission is. Their mission was not to determine whether they could take the land. The Lord had brought them to that land, had made all the provisions for them. And God had said, I'm going to give this to you. This is what I promised to Abraham and to the patriarchs. So their mission was to go over and see about the land. What about the cities? Were they walled? Give Moses some impression of what was over there. Caleb was one of those men chosen from his tribe. And when they returned, remember, 10 of the spies reported on the good land, and they said, we can't take it. We just can't take it. The giants are there. We're like grasshoppers to them. But Caleb, Joshua's partner in faith, said, we can take it with God. Then he said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Numbers 13 at verse 30. And his partner Joshua said, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. It's what we've been talking about, how all of this was made good for these folks. Now, this particular area was a land of giants, but God had promised it. But they had to claim it. And because of Israel's fear and despair, God turned them back in the wilderness because of those 10 spies and their negative, pessimistic report. Turned back for 38 more years. They wandered around and around. Now, what can we learn? God saves us and promises us that we can have a life of victory. So, often, rather than claiming what God has promised us, we, like these 10 spies, we become negative. God has promised us peace. He's promised us joy. He's promised fellowship, power. But we choose, like Israel, whether we're going to live in a spiritual wasteland like came to them for 38 more years, whether we're going to be defeated, depressed, or whether we're going to be victorious and claim our victory. You know, many Christians are guilty, I guess we could say, of spiritual window shopping. Now, there's nothing wrong with window shopping. Some of you probably have done some of that recently. Some like it, some don't. I recall I'm sort of like the mountain man of West Virginia who visited New York City, and after a day of window shopping on Fifth Avenue, he said, "I've never seen so much I could do without." Well, as Christians, we need to do more than window shop with God's promises. We need to appropriate them. God has promised. The question is, are we claiming them? Are we appropriating those blessings? Now, to help us in that venture, let's look at Caleb this morning for a few minutes. He's an inspiration to me, and I think he could be an inspiration to every one of us here today. I want you to see four great priorities that enable this 85-year gray-haired man to possess his possessions. First of those would be commitment. Somebody has said that one of our greatest problems today is a lack of commitment. That can be seen in marriage. That can be seen in work. That can be seen in the church. There's the difference between having success in our Christian lives and failure. Are we committed? Now, look at this man. Verse 8 here, verse 9, verse 14. "My brethren went up with me, may the heart of the people melt. But I," Caleb talking here, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." Verse 8. That's commitment. Moses promised that the land where your feet have trodden will surely be yours and your children for an inheritance forever, for you have wholly followed the Lord. Note that expression is found several times here in this context. I have wholly followed the Lord. Verse 14, you'll see it again. As a matter of fact, six times in this text, you'll see this phrase, "wholly follow the Lord." What is that? That's commitment, isn't it? You know what that phrase literally means? Wholly, it means to close the gap. To close the gap. It was used in ancient times of hunters referring to their closing the gap between themselves and their prey. Now, some of you who are hunters, you know what this means. Now, in Caleb's case, it means that he wanted the gap between himself and the Lord kept at a minimum. He wanted to be close to the Lord. I wholly followed him. That means every inch, every ounce, every fiber of Caleb belonged to the Lord. The Lord wants all of us, not just a little bit of us. He wants our hearts. He wants all of us, not just some, but all of our devotion. Jesus said, you know, if anyone will follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. I read this illustration one time about Julius Caesar. When he landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold step that would ensure the success of that military campaign. From the cliffs of Dover, he commanded his troops to look down at the water below. And when they looked down, to their amazement, they saw every ship on which they had crossed the channel engulfed in flames. Caesar had deliberately cut off any possibility of retreat. They couldn't return home, so there was nothing for them to do except to advance and conquer, and that's exactly what they did. Maybe too many of us as Christians have left ourselves sort of a escape hatch back into the old life. The old life of sin. But Caleb here inspires us to burn every bridge back into the old life and set our hearts and our minds at the task of conquering our Canaan. Caleb was 100% committed. James said, you know, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Some of us go to church on Sunday and we sort of tip our hats to God. But God wants us. He wants all. So, commitment. Here's a second thing. Caleb was confident. Look at verse 12 here. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Don't you love that phrase? Give me my mountain, Caleb said. Therefore, give me this mountain which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard in that day how the Anakim were there. These were the giants. And that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord God said. So what was it that caused this 85-year-old man to think that he could be a giant killer? At 85, he was confident. He was confident because he trusted the Word of God. He trusted the promises of God. Four times here in seven verses, you'll find statements like, Jehovah spake, or as the Lord said. In other words, his confidence was not in himself, but in the Lord. He recalled the promises of God. Here's one of them. The Lord sware, saying, surely there should not be one of these men of this evil generation that will go into that good land that I swear to their fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he's trodden upon, because he's wholly followed me. That's found in Deuteronomy chapter 1, 34 to 36. So Caleb believed what God promised, and he anticipated his inheritance, his mountain. His Hebron. So he was able to see beyond the circumstances into the promises of God. Caleb's weapon was the battle axe of the Word of God. How does faith come? Faith comes of hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Caleb had heard the Word of God. He believed the Word of God. He trusted the Word of God. Now, can you get the scene in your mind? Can't you just visualize Caleb climbing that mountain? In my mind, I see him with a sword in one hand and the title deed to his mountain in the other hand. And he may be singing to the top of his lungs, I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and the honey flow, where the grapes of Eskel grow. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. What is faith? Some will tell you, well, faith is positive thinking. Some will tell you that faith is optimism. Some will tell you that faith is looking on the bright side. But the Word of God says, faith is as simple as trusting what God says. Trusting what the Lord has said. It takes faith to win spiritual victories. It takes faith. And this faith is not just a blind leap in the dark. It's a deep and a settled conviction that God will do what He's promised. That's what faith is. So, we say this morning, oh God, give us more who are cut from the same cloth as Caleb, a man of commitment, a man of confidence. Now here's a third thing. I want you to see his courage. Was it going to be easy to get his mountain? No. There were great obstacles there. He had to overcome all of these obstacles. 85 years old. Now, here's one thing he had to overcome. First, he had to overcome the majority report of those who had that grasshopper complex. Those who say, you can't, you can't, you can't, we can't. Those whose view of God was so small. Those who say it can't be done. Those who say we can't afford it. Sometimes you may stand alone, but if you, like Caleb, are standing on the Word of God, you'll never be in better company. Then he had to overcome not only that majority report, but he had to overcome giants. You know, thought occurred to me, we all have giants in our lives. We have obstacles that are like giants. We'll have giants in our lives, giants of discouragement. There'll be giants of disease, giants of distress, giants of doubt. But when we face our giants, we have options. We can say, look how small we are compared to them. That's the attitude of fear. Or we can say, look how small the giants are compared to our God. That's the attitude of faith. Now, to Caleb, the giants were bread for us. As a matter of fact, that's his language. They'll be bread for us. That is, we'll eat them. Don't you love that? Giants are like breakfast for champions. That's the attitude that Caleb had. Now, here's another obstacle. He had to overcome gray hair. It's amazing, isn't it, that God keeps us moving right along, gray hair and all. Here I am this day, he said, 85 years old, but I'm as strong this day as I was 45 years ago. I'm ready to battle for my mountain. Now, what can we learn from this? Well, when God makes a promise, He gives us the strength to see its fulfillment. You believe that? Real faith looks beyond circumstances to God's promises. I imagine that many of you remember Jerry Clower. Jerry Clower was an interesting comedian. He told the story about his uncle, Versailles Ledbetter, who had a mule named Della. One day, Della fell into a cistern that Uncle Versi had thought he had covered but had not. And it was his best mule, and there was no way that he could get him out. He didn't want him to stay down there and just starve to death, so he decided the most humane thing that he could do was to haul in dirt and take his shovel and shovel that dirt down on Della. Well, he began to do that, and Della would just shake the dirt off her back and stomp on it. Finally, the dirt was high enough that old Della just jumped out of the well. Pretty good story, don't you think? Like that mule, either our problems will bury us, or we can trample on them till we rise above them. That's a good lesson for us, especially when all of us have to face our obstacles. So Caleb was committed, he had confidence, and he had courage. Now the last thing was his conquest. Look what he said here in the text. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb as an inheritance. Hebron. It's a beautiful place, a beautiful mountain there to this day in Israel. He climbed his mountain. He possessed his possession. Interestingly, the word Hebron means fellowship. Fellowship. Caleb refused to quit until he had obtained a place of rest and fellowship with his God. Let me tell you, brethren, this ought to be a battle cry for us. God help us to use all that we can learn from Caleb as we face our obstacles, our difficulties. Have you entered your Canaan? Have you claimed your possession? God does not want us to wander in the wilderness of defeat. However, it's His will that we win the victory. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. God has an inheritance for you. He has an inheritance for me. So Caleb, you are a tonic to our spirits today. And we can go home today refreshed just because we've thought about this man, Caleb. Let his commitment, his confidence, his courage, his conquest motivate us to face whatever comes our way. And may there come a deeper fellowship in our hearts and lives with God, a greater fruitfulness in His service, a greater abundance within Him. In chapter 15, verse 14, I'll use this in closing. Caleb drove out three sons of Anak. Now, these were the giants who occupied that mountain. It says he drove out three of the sons of Anak. And those three are mentioned. One of them is, if I've got this pronouncing right here, Sheshai, meaning, who am I? Ahiman, meaning, what am I? And Talmai, meaning, what can I do? In other words, you have to kill three giants if you're going to take your mountain. What are they? The giant of ego, who am I? The giant of pride, what am I? The giant of self-reliance, what can I do? So, let's go home this morning and let's try, you know, in a few weeks here, it'll be a brand new year. This is a good lesson for a new year. Let us go home as mountain climbers, like this Caleb, to claim our mountain, manifest the character, exhibit the confidence in the Word of God, master the courage to go for it, have the spirit to kill the giants, for God has an inheritance for us.